Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are back at it again. We talk about the unhappy, the angry, the annoyed, because it makes for good talk radio. And one of the people in particular is Jalen Ramsey. Now, earlier this week, disgruntled, disgusted Jalen Ramsey, he called out sick to work. And that came after reports he would just, he just didn't want to play. Reports over the weekend, he just didn't want to play for Jacksonville anymore. He didn't want to practice. He wasn't going to play. And he would find any excuse. That was the report from Schefter. Any excuse not to play for Jacksonville. That he was upset. He feels he was lied to. They said they were going to trade him over the weekend. They didn't trade him. And so the Donnybrook has escalated. And I don't know if you've heard the latest. Now Jalen Ramsey, he sat out practice with a back problem. And that's just the beginning. Right? So I'll walk you through this. Now, there's a big bombshell that came after the initial part of the day when Ramsey said he couldn't practice because he had a bad back. The legitimacy of his back injury has sparked a conversation. It sparked conversation, whether his health, all these ailments that have popped up here, so much so that even Doug Marrone, the coach of Jacksonville, He could not bite his tongue. He attempted to answer questions. He was asked a series of questions about Jalen Ramsey. This was in the afternoon portion of the day here. And listen closely here to Doug Marrone. I don't have the lead in on this, but here's Doug Marrone commenting on the situation with Jalen Ramsey.
What was the prognosis on Jalen's illness? We'll go back to that first. Monday.
What do you mean, prognosis?
Did he have the flu? Did he come in? He came in and saw the doctor. Was he good? Was he all cleared?
He was sick. That's, yeah.
But he's good now? Feeling better?
From the sickness?
Yeah.
All right, so that was fine, right? He didn't break character at all. But then the follow-up question, that's what got him.
When did the injury pop up?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, he just gets tight, you know? I mean, his back got tight. It's normal. His back has gotten tight before. My back's tight. A couple of guys' backs are tight, you know? A couple of guys have hamstrings. I mean, everyone gets the stuff.
The beginning part of that was great. Now, Jacksonville's, they're trying to spin this and saying, no, he was really laughing at some reporter. I don't believe that. Can we play that second one again? Listen to Doug Marrone, who's trying to keep a serious posture, and even he, realizing how silly this whole situation is, he lost it.
When did the injury pop up?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, it just gets tight, you know? I mean, his back got tight.
Everyone's back's tight, I know. It is time for our obligatory Jalen Ramsey stuck in purgatory Maller monologue, and here it is. Now, in addition to Ha-Ha Gate, in honor of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix of the Bears, Doug Marrone, you heard him laughing there, which was just great. Then we had a drop of the bombshell, the plot twist, later in the day. So you had that. You had the coach laughing when talking about Jalen Ramsey injuring his back. And then it was announced from Doug Marrone that Ramsey had taken a very well-timed maternity leave from the football team. That the team announced Wednesday night that they decided, quote, it was best for Jalen to fly to Nashville tonight, meaning Wednesday night, after meetings, he said, to be with his family during the birth of their daughter. He will return to the team when he's ready, and we will provide an update at that time, yada, yada, yada. All right, so let us discuss the question here. We will get into the maternity issue in a second, but we'll don't bury the lead. I think the better part of this story is the soundbite of Doug Marrone. I love that. What do you make of the head coach of the Jacksonville football franchise laughing when answering a question about the latest mysterious illness, an injury, the calamity to take place against Jalen Ramsey? Now, in my view, you've got Fertilizer Theater and the Wheel of Alibis. Fertilizer Theater and the Wheel of Alibis. Now, first of all, we'll put all these things together. Now, Doug Marrone. He could not just come out and rip Jalen Ramsey. That's not the first rule of Fight Club. You can't come out and just do that. It's not allowed. That would have made him public enemy number one with his other players on the team. I can't do that. Can't embarrass a player. But he was able to get his message across with a couple of chuckles. His disdain with a very hearty chuckle when asked about how Jalen Ramsey hurt himself. Marrone is the perfect coach for Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin, not no-nonsense kind of guy. Doug Marrone's not to the degree that Tom Coughlin is, but he seems to be from afar. He seems to be like that. He takes his football very seriously, Doug Marrone. Very seriously. Doesn't put up with the bull manure. Doesn't put up with that. But this is the old public versus private. Publicly, the Society of Football Coaches expects you to be respectful and to never accuse a player of faking injury. Privately, you can be fuming and spitting mad and all that, so you just can't show up publicly. You'd have to be pretty gullible, and there are some that are gullible. We call them suckers, to think that Jalen Ramsey has been 100% honest over the last couple of days. Just doesn't make sense. That smell in the air around Jacksonville, around the Jags facility, is the smell of fresh fertilizer laid down by Ramsey. Now, second, so Jalen Ramsey has had perfect health to start his NFL career. Do you know that? Since he entered the NFL in 2016, you know how many games he's missed with injury? Zero. He has played, up until the beginning of this year, all 48 games that he was scheduled to play in during the regular season. He's 3-for-3 so far this year. And now, all of a sudden, it's only in the past week that his immune system has started to break down ever since he asked for a trade. Now, if you're a jock sniffer and ball player defender, you will say it was just bad timing. You know, bad time. Unfortunately, the timing does matter. He has turned this into theater of the absurd, is what it is. It's a special play off Broadway. Now, I have my own theory that Jalen Ramsey is getting counsel from his agent, from people around him, his posse, if you will. I did that for LeBron. But it's more likely than not that this is all part of some not so elaborate but definitely calculated strategic effort. The old-fashioned exit strategy, right? The line, the squeaky wheel gets the cheese, the squeaky player gets the transfer papers to another team. If Jalen Ramsey comes back, right, he would be able to vandalize the Jacksonville locker room enough where eventually he would win what has become a urinating match. Like, you burn enough bridges. You burn enough bridges, and you can't go back across any of the bridge. You can't do it. All right, final thought on this. So it is stunning that a verbal rebuke by Tom Coughlin could lead to insubordination like this. I don't know what Coughlin said. Some people say it goes back to April. But the unexplained case, maybe it's just Jalen Ramsey's like a hypochondriac. Maybe all of a sudden he woke up one morning and said, I'm going to become a hypochondriac. He's out for vengeance, right? Now, speaking of that, if Ramsey is traded, I still maintain this, and we'll see if he is not. And now it's just a battle of egos at this point, but you would get the daily double if Ramsey ends up being traded, because what I mean by that is he will immediately return to health, an amazing modern medical miracle. All he has to do is put on different colored laundry, and he would become the centerpiece of his new team's defense. If he is traded, he will also be inspired by bitterness trying to get back at Jacksonville's front office, and that will only make him better. So if you're the Chiefs or the Eagles or the Browns, any of the teams that have been mentioned, why not? It takes two to tango. You got to get one of these other teams to buy in. But everyone has, as we always say, their price. And nobody has been able to meet the price on the head of Jalen Ramsey. And while it's nice for a father to make extra effort to be at the birth of their children, the phrasing from Jacksonville made it appear that Ramsey was Let's just say not necessarily on the same page with the front office. Right? Marrone said in the statement, he said, we decided that it was best for Jalen to leave the team. Is the way it was, which to me, and maybe it's just me, but it sounds like, hey, because he's such a douche, we got to get rid of this guy, and this is a perfect excuse and all that stuff. The real kicker would be, we don't know how long the woman is. I assume it's his wife, but maybe not. Maybe it's his baby mama drama. I don't know. But what if she's only like 6 months pregnant or something like that? She's not, got several more months to go. Yeah. And the other line, which several people have been sending me these cute little one lines, is that Jalen Ramsey now will have, next week there'll be another child that will be born. The week after that, another child. He's going to beat Antonio Cromartie as far as kids are concerned there. He's going to set a new gold standard. The other thing is a lot of businesses offer 5 or 6 weeks of paternity leave. So does that mean that he's going to use all 5 or 6 weeks and miss almost half the season because of this? So just to recap here, Jalen Ramsey has had 3 excuses since the weekend. Imagine this. This is how it's played out. He has spun the wheel of alibis is what he's done. Called in to work Monday, said he had the flu. Right, said he had the flu on Monday. Then Tuesday, he had essentially a bad back. Tuesday night, I guess he had a bad back. Then Wednesday, he had to leave because he has a child coming and he had to leave the team. Right? His next strategy will be to say that I can't play this weekend because the dog ate my playbook. That's Jalen Ramsey's next excuse. And yet, through it all, this is what I love about human beings, is that there's a certain percentage of people that are just gullible and they'll believe anything. And it's great for those of us that use a skeptical approach to this stuff, because you know, I hope he can sign up with Geico, because I'll tell you what, he needs some good insurance. He needs some good insurance. And on the flight to Nashville, what do you think he was doing on the flight from Jacksonville to Nashville? I'm assuming he flew. I'm going to say online, looking at medical websites like WebMD, trying to find out what other things he can come up with to miss future games. And the other thing about this, like, he's got to be lying about something, right? Because the flu thing, if you are sick with the flu that you had to miss work because you're vomiting, which is what his people are saying, Jalen Ramsey, wouldn't you be risking the health of an infant child to fly in at the birth of the kid and be sick with the flu? Wouldn't that affect the health of a child? So either he was lying about that, or he's just out there to injure, get a newborn baby ill.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So an NFL star ending a protest? I think you can call it a protest when you hold out and say that you want to be traded because you are unhappy. You are protesting the team that you are playing for. Is that correct? I believe that is accurate. Right, I think that is not outrageous or anything like that. That is you're causing chaos and you're defying the contract you agreed to. So we're talking about Melvin Gordon. Now he's ending. And this is not the Kaepernick protest. This is the I'm better than I'm being paid. And he tried to push back against the corporate machine of the NFL and wanted some mayhem and revolution. Wanted to be traded. And how'd that work out? Well, we are told that running back Melvin Gordon today, Thursday, will show up to work. It's over. The holdout is over. It is time to get back in the saddle again. Go work for the LA Power Company, the Chargers there. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that Melvin Gordon will not be playing on Sunday when the Chargers have their bye week against the Dolphins, but could play Week 5 against Joe Flacco and Justin Cooper's Denver Broncos in Week 5. So that's a Thursday night. I believe that's the next Thursday night game, Chargers and Broncos. So let us discuss the question. What did Melvin Gordon accomplish with this holdout, which has lasted all the way through training camp in the first 3.5 weeks of the NFL season? So I've got Uncle, Cook the Books, and the Paper Tiger. And we'll put all these things together And we will make a nice parlay card is what we're going to make, a winning parlay. Now, to lead off with Melvin Gordon, the one thing, clearly he's guilty of a lapse in judgment. Now, he wasn't out there picketing. He wasn't on the line there picketing and all that stuff. But his approach was that, hey, I'm hot and bothered. I'm hopping mad. I want to get paid. I'm undervalued here. I'm underpaid. There's this salary injustice that is going on with him. And they wanted to get him into a different situation. The people around him wanted to get him into a different situation. So he figured, Melvin Gordon, that he could strong arm the Chargers, clearly not aware of the Spanos family history with Dean Spanos and all that and the old man before him. And so anyway, spoiler alert, it didn't work. No contract extension, no trade. You are stuck in la-la land, Melvin Gordon. That's where you are. The Chargers and the NFL have spoken loud and proud. You know what they're saying? They're not whispering in hushed tones. They're saying, Melvin Gordon, you are not essential. You're not. You're a good player, but you're not essential. The Chargers, keep in mind, the whole strategy was, well, the Chargers get off to a slow start, they will be forced to pay Melvin Gordon. Well, they are off to a bad start. The Chargers are under 500. They're 1-2. They had a bad loss to the Lions in Detroit. They lost to the Texans at home. Couldn't stop Deshaun Watson. But guess what? They won the staring contest. They didn't cave in to the demands, and it turns out that Melvin Gordon, he's the one that is crying uncle. He's the one yelling out uncle here. No mas, if he was a boxer in an old fight back then, no mas, giving his unconditional surrender. So we have a case here of not to flog a dead horse, but we have an ultimatum that was denied. And even though the Chargers have a losing record at this particular point, it is not because of the running game. And that's the conundrum. That's the confusion for Melvin Gordon. Like, we can bicker about whether the Chargers are going to bounce back and they've got the Dolphins this weekend and all that stuff, which is just a gimme. But we cannot debate that the Charger running game is not the problem. Los Angeles, the LA Chargers, are fifth in the NFL, averaging 5.2 yards per rush. Now, Austin Eckler hasn't been great. Justin Jackson, who's played some as well, he has been very productive in the backfield, but collectively the ensemble cast in the Chargers backfield has actually improved the offensive production from the running game. It's early, but they are up almost a yard per carry for the Los Angeles Chargers as opposed to the 2018 numbers through the first 3 weeks. Now we will be fair. Not that we need to be fair, because we do sports radio. We like hostility. We like that. It's good for business. But to be fair, Melvin Gordon didn't come away totally empty-handed. Because this is another one of those things, we talk about this a lot, teachable moment. Melvin Gordon, there's a lesson. Now, whether he learned the lesson, that's up for debate. That's the jury's still out on that. But he now knows where he stands in terms of real-world value in NFL circles. Not a single team. 31 options. 31 options, other than the Chargers, obviously, who are there, the 32nd team. But not a single franchise was willing to step up and pay the price that the Chargers put on the head of Melvin Gordon at the auction block. Not a single team. This would be a good time for Melvin Gordon here to do a little inventory on what happens next. Like, it's balls in his court there. I think the idea that he's going to break the bank on the contract seems a little far-fetched. Being disgruntled and feeling disrespected, right? Oh, how dare you, right? Okay, it's all fine and wonderful and all stuff. It's motivation. We hear this all the time about people being motivated, especially in sports. But in this circumstance, motivated by the negativity, it would appear that Melvin Gordon is tone deaf. The only other thing that this holdout accomplished, other than give him the lesson that he's not that valuable, is it hurt his 401k. How much? Well, being stubborn, being pig-headed has resulted in a massive financial loss. So let's cook the books, as they say. Let's use some Mahler math on this. We were told that Melvin Gordon, every game check, lost $329,000. So he's missed three game checks. We assume he will get a check this week. So assuming he does get paid for this weekend because he's going to show up to work today, that means the Charger running back, with this little escapade, cost himself $987,000 by trying to make a statement, right? House divided and all that, trying to force his way out. You got to know which side of the aisle you're on, whether you're on the side that has the majority or the side that does not have the majority. Because if you're on the majority side, you can get away with that. If you're not, it doesn't work. Now, keep in mind, the Chargers also fined Melvin Gordon a bunch of money. Sometimes teams will waive those fines if a player comes back. But the Chargers are one of those teams that probably doesn't, right? I mean, they've got that reputation and most likely won't. Last thing here. So Melvin Gordon can handle this one of two ways. He can either continue to pout and shout and whine and have a hissy fit and become a rotten apple, or he can use this and play flawless football, become the player that he thinks he is. The ball is in his court. So far, Melvin Gordon, as an NFL player, has been a paper tiger. That's what he's been, right? Flashes of greatness, injury prone, doesn't consistently bring it, not reliable, which is what you have to be as an elite player. Todd Gurley, before he got hurt, was very reliable. David Johnson in Arizona was very reliable. Zeke Elliott in Dallas, very, very dependable. Melvin Gordon, not so much. So we'll see what kind of competitor he is and all that, and what he does here. Will he engage or make a quick visit to the injury tent with the Chargers? That's the other way this could go, right? He comes back, doesn't play in week four. Week five, he plays. Oh, I felt a little twinge in my hammy. Moon over hammy, and I must go into the injury tent, and I got problems. We'll find out. We'll find out whether he takes this and uses this to inspire him and ignite some good football, or he says, no, I still have a grudge. I feel this was uncalled for, what the Chargers did, and it is unjustifiable that they didn't trade me, so I will play half-ass football the rest of the way. All right, it's Ben Maller, Sean Fox. To the phones we go, and my guy Wayne in Southie.
Who?
Wayne in Southie. He's
never heard of
the
him.
Man's a he's a movie star. He's a man about
town. Don't saying that, you. And listen, I'm going to tell you this once and only once, Maller. Don't ever put me online with some weird thing, whatever you call it. I don't know what you call it. Don't do that, Maller.
What are you talking about? What are you?
The other night when you shut me off, you left me on hold. I didn't even know I was on hold. My girl told me the phone. I said, "What the hell are you?" The phone was on the call. We were doing nothing. I don't need to tell you what would happen. But anyways, you
Yes.
You said you were talking to the Alexis, Prexis, whatever, the drag queen or whatever.
Yeah,
you call
yeah,
it.
Yeah. You don't want any
and
part
you
of
were
that.
Like, you want to talk to me in Southie? The hell do I want to talk to her?
All right.
Are you punishing me, Mel?
No, not at all, Wayne. I mean,
I thought you loved me, Mel.
But don't worry. Listen, Flexus.
When I blow, you'll feel it.
Flexus is in Western New York. I mean, there's a long.
I don't care anywhere. All right. Listen, Mel. I got a trivia for you about running backs. You're talking about Melvin Gordon, who's the only rookie running back to get five touchdowns and get the MVP for the league that year. And he's a rookie running back.
I don't know. It must be some Patriot, though, if you're bringing it up.
Sony Michel.
There you go. He didn't win the MVP. He was the top rookie, offensive rookie or whatever. Was
yeah,
that what he,
yeah, well, yeah. Well, you know what I meant, the top rookie
yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, I knew it was a Patriot.
My Patriots, hey, Mel, I'm looking at the schedule here, right? And I am literally laughing. I don't know. The Patriots won the Super Bowl, right? And then they get the worst. They get the, I don't know, they get one side the easiest, and on the other side, it's death row. They got Ravens, Eagles, Cowboys, Texans, Chiefs, and then we got Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins to close the season. They always give us bums to close the season.
Well, yeah, you're in a division surrounded by bums. You're in the Patriots live in the AFC East, which is the slums of the NFL. With the
I know, but you gotta remember, we were back in the day. We were the Patsies. We were the slums.
I remember that. Now, so
that's why I feel so good and passionate about what might happen to my team. Now we're the greatest. I told people, one day we'll go from the worst to the best.
Well, they should have signed you, Wayne, because I saw this. The Patriots, no, seriously, the Patriots signed Cody Kessler.
I'm a quarterback, man. I keep all my boys at the gym say that. I ended up going in the Marine Corps instead.
When I was doing the local show on the other station in Boston, Wayne was my guy, and you told the story when you can throw a football 70 yards in the air. You're like Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, I almost pulled my arm out. Oh, it hurt. I pulled my arm. What do you call it?
That's like shooting it out of a cannon. I mean, that's like shooting it out of a cannon.
No, we throw the ball every time we come out of the gym. My boy has two footballs, one for kicking and then one for throwing. I kick field goals.
Yeah.
We have a good time. We play football. I love football. Football will always be in my blood. I told my son, when we were kids, we would get up when I was five, we'd get out there at 8 o'clock in the morning with our football, getting the little deal, and we'd be tackling each other. Playing football all day. Now I sit in the house and play Madden.
Calm down, Wayne. It's okay. Times change. All right?
I know it's just weird, Mally. You know what I mean? I told my son, I said, go out and play. He doesn't play. I told him he wanted to play football. He's like, no, I want to draw graphics for a video game. And he did. And
now good.
He's got a scholarship to go to FSU.
Nice, that's great. That's a great thing. What's up with his girlfriend, Wayne? What's going on? Is this a serious situation, Wayne?
I don't have no serious situation.
I just want to make sure, man. I'm keeping up.
Ever since my wife, I just, you know what I mean. I'm like a boat. I just float along.
I hear you, buddy. All right, Wayne. All right,
Mel. So, answer me a question real quick. What do you think my Patriots are going to be this year? I said 14-2. What do you say? Last year you picked it. You said 11-5.
I did. I did go 11-5. I mean, 14-2 sounds good, but the way they're playing right now, if Brady can maintain this level, they'll go 15-1.
Who do you think? Who do you think they're going to lose to, Mal? I just told you the schedule. Who do you think they're going to lose to?
Well, you mentioned that stretch of games there for the Patriots where they have
Ravens on the road, right?
I think they'll be fine with
Eagles. We'll beat the Eagles. Eagles are nobody. Yeah. But then we got what's good here is we got the Cowboys at Gillette Stadium. The heck, Texans, I don't care about them. We got the Chiefs at Gillette Stadium.
That could be the one you lose because that was close when it was in Foxborough last year, and it's Mahomes.
It wasn't in Foxborough.
No, I'm talking about the first game in the regular season was in Foxborough when they had the track meet game.
I gotta go.
Wait, I thank you, buddy.
All right, go, Mal. Go, I love you.
All right, there he goes. My guy Wayne from Southie. We're friends, man. We hung out together. We had one raucous night there with him and Jim in Providence and our friends from Maine, Blind Scott, and all that. It was
he's kind of Weed Man Northeast.
Wow.
Yeah, he kind of is.
No, he's got a job.
Well, I mean, aside from the begging part.
He's worked. He's been in the military. Like he's lived a good life. I mean, he's lived an honest life. Yeah. So from that perspective, he's the polar opposite of Weed Man Hippie, who we still mention, but he's not a part of the show, but we still mention him like he's a part of the show. What's up with that? He's done, right? He hasn't called in a couple weeks now, trying to beg for forgiveness and all that, so it's over.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
All right, here we go. It is Maller to the third degree. The Coop de Loop is next.
Coop. In an interview with the Indianapolis Star, Archie Manning said that Peyton would like to come back to football in a front office or ownership capacity. This is the first confirmation. We've heard rumors for years, but this is a confirmation from his dad. Ben, long before this becomes a reality, how long before this becomes a reality, and what team do you think it could be?
All right, so a couple things on this. Now, number one, it has been almost 4 years since Peyton Manning played in an NFL game. So in that time, Peyton Manning has been playing hooky, if you will, from the football world. He's turned down several high-paying jobs. He's left millions of dollars on the table. I know ESPN, I was told by somebody that works over there, that they offered him, they would have made him the highest-paid analysts, they said that that was the offer a couple years ago. Manning turned it down. Other networks have offered him jobs. He said no. He's had chances to work in front offices with NFL teams, but he said no. So as a curious skeptic, it seems like there's a lot of chatter, a lot of noise, a lot of talk, but no action. Like, you either got to, you know, drop the deuce or get off the pot at some point. I mean, come on. Now, secondly, if Peyton Manning really does jump into the frying pan, he will have his pick of jobs. But using the law of elimination, you can bring in some teams, and which teams are more probable, I got a couple possibilities for Peyton Manning. If the Broncos continue to be a rudderless ship, can't you see them forcing John Elway out and Peyton Manning sliding on in as the new head of football ops for the Denver Broncos? I could see that. I could absolutely see that. We know he's tight with the Cleveland Browns owner, Jimmy Dolan, but John Dorsey seems like he's a time-tested, battle-scarred executive, and he's not going to go anywhere, but there's that. Also, the Houston Texans, they don't have a GM. Peyton Manning could slide on into Houston. And then there's always the Tennessee Titans because of Peyton's ties to the state of Tennessee and all that. But whatever happens here, Peyton Manning is the equivalent of a trophy wife. He is the status symbol for these billionaires in the boys' club, the billionaire boys' club around the NFL. All right, next!
Now, according to reports, an anonymous NBA executive said that he views LaMelo Ball as a potential number one overall pick.
LaMelo.
Now, Ben, with the effect that we've seen LaVar have on Lonzo's career, would drafting LaMelo give you pause?
No, I would draft him. If he's as good as they say, then I would have no concern about drafting this guy. And a couple things. A, LaMelo, this is not new. He was billed when he was in high school. They said he's the best of the balls. That Lonzo made the NBA, was the number two pick, but this was the jewel of the family.
My lover of balls.
Like the family business of basketball. Now, we are still over 270 days away from the 2020 NBA draft, so a lot of things can change between now and then. We talked about this the other night. LaMelo Ball, they say he projects to be a player of the similar build to Tracy McGrady or Penny Hardaway. He can shoot from the outside, unlike his brother. And really, he's been living, what an interesting life. He's been living like that Dr. Seuss book. Remember when you were a kid, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Remember that book? That was a good book. But he was at Chino Hills in Southern California. He went to Lithuania. He then played in something called the JBA. I think that was the startup basketball league for his dad. He then went to the Spire Institute in Geneva, Ohio, and now he's in Australia. And he hasn't even gotten to a college situation because he didn't go to college because why would you? He's going to go right to the NBA out of Australia. Now, B, Lonzo. I'm going to go back to Lonzo. Lonzo has been a bust. Now he's in New Orleans there for two reasons. Can't stay healthy, can't shoot. That's not LaVar Ball's fault. Coaches and shooting gurus have spent a lot of time. I know the Lakers, we kill the Lakers all the time, but they worked with Lonzo. They tried to improve his shooting. They tried to recreate his shot. They put a lot of sweat equity into Lonzo, and it didn't work. He's got a raggedy jump shot and all that. No return on investment. He's a 38% career shooter from the floor, 45% from the charity stripe. He's a liability. He's very similar to Ben Simmons. But just because he's bad doesn't mean LaMelo's bad. Usually, if you look at the brothers of in sports over the years, usually one of them is much better than the other one. Right? I mean, there's been plenty of these. Hank Aaron had a brother that played baseball, but nobody really knows who he is because Hank Aaron's the star of the family, the jewel of the family and all that. Mark McGwire's brother was Dan McGwire. He played quarterback. Wasn't very good, but he played quarterback in the NFL. All right, next.
Klay Thompson said in an interview on Tuesday that he believes that the Warriors would have won the championship had he not gotten injured in Game 6. What do you think, Ben?
Well, I picked the Warriors to win. I was like everyone else. I thought they were going to win. But if this helps Klay Thompson, first of all, sleep at night, great. Golden State was the overwhelming presumptive team to win the championship in the NBA Finals. And then they disintegrated in front of our eyes. Now, unfortunately, the reason they play the games is because it ain't a computer simulation because guys get hurt. All right? That's part of the NBA Finals, part of the damn World Series, part of the Super Bowl. And it's usually the survival of the fittest It's a war of attrition in these championship rounds. Now, secondly, there is no way. This is the great thing. Klay Thompson can say this. There is no way to prove or disprove the Warriors would have won. We know they didn't win without Klay Thompson. There's no way to prove they would have won if he had been healthy the entire NBA Finals. I can make the same argument that, like, the invisible pink unicorn, if that would have made a couple of more shots in the NBA Finals, then Golden State would have won. Anyway, the Warriors should have, could have, would have, but they didn't. And they've got to own it, and now they've got to come back, and they've got to chase down the great team, the Clippers, this year. All right, there it is, Maller to the third degree. How did we do?
Benny passes it.
That is a win. Put on the board. Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's now time for...
Time for... Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
And away we go. It's time now for Ask Ben, brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you treat you. These are actual questions by actual listeners like yourself. Get as many of these things in as we can. And we go over to the Coupe de Loop, the MC, the Master of Ceremonies.
Ben, we're going to start with a question for you.
All right.
This is from Cardiac Stanley on Twitter.
Hi, Cardiac Stanley. I'm glad you're alive.
Ben, would you rather go ahead 10 years to 2029 or back to 2009?
Okay, so the way I'll answer this is, number one, if you're going to allow me to have money, I know who won the World Series in 2009. I know who won the NBA Finals. I know who won the Super Bowl. So if it's like Back to the Future 2 or whatever, I'm
R2,
in.
Yeah.
Right, Roberto? I'm in.
Yeah,
so
that's smart.
If not, yeah, I'd like to see 2029. I mean, unfortunately, if I make it to 2029, we'll see all the technology and all that. But you think about how fast stuff has happened. Like, you imagine what, 10 years from now, it's going to be just bananas. It's already bananas. So if you don't allow me to bet on sports, I would just go 10 years forward. But if you give me some money and I can keep the money, I'm going back. All right, next.
Another question for you, Ben.
All right, back to back and belly to belly.
This is from Just Josh.
Hi, Josh.
If you could have sent 4 militia members to storm Area 51 and promote the Ben Maller Show, who would they have been?
All right, that's a very good question. I would have put, now, is Weed Man still part of the militia? I don't know. He's not really an active member anymore of the militia. But I'd have to get Lance the bus driver because I need a driver. So I'd have Lance the bus driver. I'd put Phalexis, America's favorite drag queen, in there. I'd throw Phalexis into the mix. I'd take our guy from Maine, Blair in Maine. I'd throw him in there. And then I'd also put Phalexis, America's favorite drag queen caller. And just to annoy Wayne from Southie, I'd put him on there as well. So that would be the group. And I think it would be a lot of fun. I think it would be great. And they would have stormed and succeeded at Area 51. They would have won. All right, next.
All right, Ben, this question is for everyone.
Group question.
This is from Andrew in Fremont.
Hi, Andrew.
So tomorrow is my 13-year anniversary at Walmart, and it's the longest job I ever had. So my question is, what's the longest job you have ever had?
Well, that depends if you count the 6 months and 26 days that I was not employed by Fox Sports Radio. But outside of that, for the better part of 19 years, I have worked right here at Fox Sports Radio. That is the longest. It's hard for me to believe that it's been that long, but it has been that long. But that's the longest job that I've had. Most of the other radio jobs I had lasted a year or two, a couple of years here, a couple of years there in San Diego or wherever. But this has been the big spot. What about you, Eddie?
Yeah, same. Yeah. I had it seemed like a different radio job every year for about 5 years. Did a little TV work behind the scenes here at Fox Sports, and then got the job here, and it'll be 18 years next month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. I got you beat, shocking. but only by a couple months. If you eliminate the 6 months and 26 days, I've still got you beat by about 6 months. So if they fire me again for 6 months, we'll be even. What about you, Roberto? Longest job you've ever held down?
At my old radio job before this one at 690 was about 10 years.
I used to work at the Mighty 690.
Yeah.
Well, you worked there. It wasn't the Mighty 690.
No, it was Spanish. Spanish talk.
Right. Yeah.
10 years there.
got better ratings. What about you, Koopaloop?
Well, if we're being technical, I'm still getting paychecks from my original
acting career.
Okay, well, no, that too. I wasn't talking about that. My original sales job where I sold ink to companies.
Yeah, I remember this. When I first met Coop, I didn't know he had been an actor, but I knew he was a printer guy. Looney told me that he sold printer cartridges or
yes,
something like that.
Yes, that is correct, to businesses. And the accounts that I had back then, I still get like a percentage of the profits anytime they order.
Oh, nice.
So,
oh,
that's awesome, man.
So technically, I've been at that company for 13 years, since I'm still getting paid. But if you're not counting that, since I don't actually do any work over there anymore, this is the longest job.
How great is that? That reminds me of when I did local radio, the sales guy, the sales weasels, right? They'd get these deals with these agencies, and they would just be golfing all the time because the agencies buy a certain number of commercials at radio stations, and you're set up. All right, let's keep it going. It is Ask Ben. Your questions are answers.
This question is for everybody. This is from John on Facebook.
Hi, John.
What is your favorite dinosaur?
I'm a T-Rex guy. I grew up, I was the big dinosaur when I was a kid, and I've always been loyal to T-Rex. Steggy and some of those other ones are fine, but I was a T-Rex guy. The most famous of the dinosaurs when I was a kid is T-Rex. I know maybe it's been passed by. What about you, Eddie?
I would have to go with the Triceratops. When I was a kid, I liked that one the best.
I see you as a Triceratops type.
Yeah. Thank
Roberto?
You.
Which was the flying dinosaur? Which was that one called?
Pterodactyl.
Pterodactyl. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right, Koopa Loop, favorite dinosaur.
Mine used to be the Velociraptor, and then I found out that they didn't actually look like they do in Jurassic Park. They're much smaller and not nearly as cool. So, yeah. So the Pterodactyl is also my favorite.
They have no idea what the dinosaurs actually look like.
That's true.
The skin of the dinosaurs. They might have all been like pink or whatever.
That's true.
They have no idea. All right, next. Here we go.
This is from Ernie, Great Opiner.
Hi, Ernie.
For the whole crew, have any of you rode a motorcycle, snowmobile, or jet ski? And if so, how'd it go?
No, and no. Eddie?
I rode a dirt bike when I was like 12, 13, something like that, out in the woods there. That was about it.
Roberto?
Motorcycle, yeah. Sea-Doo's, and Sea-Doo's, not jet ski.
I'd love to go on a Sea-Doo. That looks like
those
so
fun,
much
man.
Fun, man.
A lot of fun.
I would love to do that. Do they allow fat people on Sea-Doo's?
Sure.
Okay. Coop?
I've when I was a kid, I rode on the back of my uncle's motorcycle. That was cool. I've never ridden a snowmobile. And like Roberto, I've ridden a Sea-Doo's many, many times, and it's awesome. I love it.
All right. There it is. Well, thank you for your questions. Do you like this? We do it every week at about this time. We have a ripoff version of Ask Ben on the fifth hour with Ben Maller, but not as good as the real
McCoy. Did
McCoy.
Ask Gagon or what is it?
Well, nobody wants to ask him any questions. Who the hell cares about Gagon, right? Come on.